You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And on the internet, you can go anytime to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and hear us live right now, or you can listen to rebroadcasts of any of our past programs simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, this has been another very interesting week, and I ask all of you to go to your telephone and alert your family and friends that we are here today and we are having open forum, which means open season for all discussions. On board today, we have the very well-known Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. Larkin Conley, by the way, is sitting here in studio with Henry Chaplinsky and I, our engineer, and he is ready to go. He's got his hands on the microphone and ready to put the claw down. And also, Rich Logis is back from his travels, and we look forward to hearing from him. And Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, will get a rebroadcast of the program out later today, so you'll be able to send it off to your family and friends. I'm Michael Blihash, and I always thank you for stopping me in my travels, because that's really great to hear from people who tell me they listen to the program, they're looking for American-made items, speaking up in behalf of American workers, and point-blankly telling businesses, if you want my business, you better show me a little more effort, that you went out, you talked to your merchandisers. Now, there is something, as everyone knows, we are in historic Philadelphia, and many of the tourists that come here say, oh, well, we have a better selection of American-made products down south. And I say, well, I'd like to see what they are. And they say, oh, we can get shirts because a lot of our shirt manufacturers and all are from the Carolinas. And yet in the Philadelphia area and our tri-state area, not much is made in America. As I said many times in the past, if we just got all of the franchises, the baseball, the football, the hockey, to focus on making their products here in the Carolinas, where we have a big textile industry, we would be a lot better off. And when our people are selling those items at the stadiums, you know 100% that you're supporting American made. In the last few decades, we spend much time trying to build up nations of the world, and we hurt America in the long run. So I'm going to start off today by welcoming Dr. Rich Logis. Rich, we missed you for the last few weeks. I hope you had a great time in your travels. And tell me what's on your mind. It's open forum.
Good morning, Michael, and guys, good morning to everyone. I'm so happy to be back. It just so happened, Michael, my travels happened to fall on consecutive Wednesdays. So I was 20,000 feet up and would, you know, miss the show. Really happy to be back on. I'll tell you where I was last week. So I was in the great city of Chicago, Michael. You know, great historic city. It's actually the largest concentration of Poles of any city in America. And I believe it's actually even the largest outside of Warsaw in the world, the city of Chicago. So I was there for a business trip, and inevitably, you know how we are, Michael, inevitably we got to talking about national politics, but we talked about local politics in particular in the city of Chicago. Now, I've got a book coming out, Michael, in November. The title of the book is 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat. And in one of the chapters that I've gotten there, I talk about the city of Chicago. So one of the things that I asked, Michael, all the native Chicagoans who were there, is I asked them, I said, do you guys know how long the Democrats have run Chicago? And they said, oh, it's forever. It's been a long time. And I said, let me tell you exactly how long. So here's a fact, Michael. This is a fact. Done the research. It's all verified. So everyone listening can go to the internet and verify this. Do you guys know that the city of Chicago has had only a Democrat mayor and 90% Democrat city council members for the last 30,000 consecutive uninterrupted days? 30,000, Mark. The city of Philadelphia. I mean, what I'm about to say, what I'm about to say is so unbelievable that I had to check it myself. Michael, do you know that in the city of Philadelphia, there have been only Democrat mayors and 90% Democrat city council members for the last 20,000 consecutive days? The Democrats have run Philadelphia and Chicago longer than Stalin ran the Soviet Union, the Castros ran Cuba, and the Kim Jong-un family has run North Korea.
What?
Do you think that 30,000 and 20,000 consecutive uninterrupted days is enough time to know if something doesn't work?
Why break it down to days? Why don't you just break it down to hours or minutes for us?
8 trillion hours. It's been 8 trillion hours. I mean, my God, these are mini Democrat empires in America. Chicago, Philadelphia, Michael. Joseph Stalin didn't run the Soviet Union. He ran it less time than the Democrats have run Philly. The Castros haven't run Cuba as long as the Dems have run Philly and Chicago, amongst other cities like Baltimore, like Detroit. I can name a whole bunch of them, Michael.
You know,
I mean, is that not enough time to know if something doesn't work? I mean, these are mini empires. Middle East, Muslim, Islamic, radical Islamic caliphates haven't been running things for the last 30,000 straight days. Larkin?
Well, I've got to tell you, something happened to me yesterday that it cracked me up, because I had this conversation with you earlier in the week, and was hoping that you would bring this up, because it's truly a phenomenon. But I walked into a grocery store in Center City, Philadelphia, to buy some soda that I like to mix with my adult beverage. I need 2 or 3 of them just to settle myself down after a day on South Street. But at any rate, I stepped up to the counter, put the 12-pack down. The lady said, that'll be $6.10. And I said, no, I don't. This isn't beer, ma'am. This is like sugar water. This is soda. And she said, yeah, it'll be $6.10. I said, and where I come from in Florida, I could buy 2 12-packs for this. As a matter of fact, I oftentimes can buy 3, get 2 free, which is a deal that for like somewhere around $10, I'm getting 5. 12 packs of soda. And she said, well, welcome to Philadelphia. And I said, well, I've lived here for a long time, but I've been gone for the last 2 years. And she said, oh, well, you've missed the big party. Sugary drinks have a tax on them. And I said, give me my receipt. And I looked at the receipt. The tax is so egregious that they don't even detail it on the receipt. It's not detailed on the receipt as a sugary drink tax. It's in the price of the drink. And I think, now I'm just drawing these assumptions that the drink purveyor, the drink vendor, has to pay the city. Every time they deliver a 12-pack, they got to pay the city something, and they stick it on the drink. It's the way oil companies or cities used to put taxes on a gallon of gasoline. It doesn't, you know, they made them detail it on the pump. This goes to your road and everything. But it's another attempt on the government's part to hide it. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. Really? What's the percentage? And she said, I don't know. But it's big, obviously. You buy this 12-pack for $3.99, $4.10, or whatever it is, where you come from, and this is what we charge up here. So it's
and you did buy it, though.
Oh, sure, I bought it.
Because you need that to mix with your adult drink.
Well, listen, I'd be an alcoholic if I didn't put some soda in there occasionally. But at any rate, I said to her, well, really, what's it for? Where does it go? Or is this just more money that's thrown down the funnel of government that disintegrates somewhere? And she said, well, it's supposed to go to the schools. And to my knowledge, they haven't gotten a penny of it yet. And I said, let me ask you something. This poor woman, all she wanted to do was get my money and get me out of line. But I said, let me ask you one question. Would you be surprised if I told you the Democrats have been running this city for 20,000 consecutive days, and this is where we are with all of this? And she said, no, this is a Democratic city. And I said, if I run a credible Republican, will you vote for him? And she said, no, I'm a Democrat. There's no Republican ever going to get elected in the city. There are too many people that like the Democrats because they make it very cushy for what we sit on. And I looked at her and I said, you got to be kidding me. And as I was walking out, I was mumbling something to the guy that was in the next line because he had heard this whole conversation. And he said, she's not changing anything because she's a union worker. She belongs to the Democratic-based union. And as a result, and I said, oh, you know, this is one vicious circle. So now we're talking about a city that decriminalized dope. I can walk down the street. I can buy a tie stick. Light that bad boy up. If the cops stop me, I pay a traffic ticket. Yet when I get the munchies from smoking this dope, everybody knows it's ever done it. There's a little bit of a sugar sweet tooth that comes up behind. But now I'm getting, not only have to pay the ticket, but I have to pay this huge tax because my little buzz, you know, made me want something sweet, and I'm drinking a soda that's got this huge tax on it. So they get you coming and going. I mean, it really, to me, is kind of hilarious.
Now, you know,
can I interject on one thing? And Mark, sorry, because I don't want to take your time here. I just, to this point, because it's a perfect segue, Larkin. It's the perfect segue to something else that I wanted to make mention, Michael, based on your guys' last few weeks of broadcasts. I took a lot of Ubers when I was in Chicago, and the week before I was in Nashville, another great city, great food, great people, great town. And as I'm taking these Ubers, chatting with the drivers, I had this James Joycean epiphany, and I thought, Larkin, that's the answer. The Uber model is the answer for healthcare in America. Because here's the problem, Michael. Here's a couple problems. First of all, the true way to resolve a political issue, and I would say that healthcare is a pretty damn big issue. So here's the uncomfortable requirement that has to happen. So you have to have the Democrat leaders, so-called, and the Republican leaders, so-called, get on a platform, on a podium in a press conference, and both acknowledge that they both have a BS narrative. So the Republicans' BS narrative is, elect us, we'll fix it, we'll repeal and replace, and trust us, we'll get the job done. Well, that was a big dud, right? So that BS Republican narrative, that's there. Then the Democrat BS narrative is, healthcare is free, it's a right. It's a right, and it's free. And all the people, all the young people who cheered it's free are mostly the progeny of millionaires and billionaires, whom I'm sure didn't become millionaires and billionaires from giving stuff away for free, Mark. So both of them have to get in front of the country and say, Chuck Schumer has to say, I've got a BS narrative. Mitch McConnell's got to say, I've got a BS narrative. Everybody wants to attack the president for it, when in reality, the president doesn't make laws, Congress does. If the president could make any law he wanted, it would be called a dictatorship. So because both of them have a BS narrative, here we are, Michael. So I'm sitting there looking at the Uber model thinking, why do people ultimately take Uber? Because the same airport ride, Michael, from the Polish American Center in Philly to the airport would be with a taxi, I don't know, 50, 60 bucks, I'm guessing. Well, guess what? The Uber's $25. And you know why it's 25 bucks, Michael? Because all Uber did was just cut the government right out of the whole thing. That's what they did. Why? Because every time, Larkin, there's more government regulation, there's more taxation, whom does it actually harm? It harms the customer. So I understand all the cab companies were mad because they had to go through all these hoops and hurdles for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some cities, you have to spend $1 million to get a taxi and limousine medallion. Uber came in and said, what the hell do you need that for? It's just a car to drive you. So because you had these massive regulations on top of regulation, I call it the government regulation industrial complex, it created a monopoly. And because it created a monopoly, who always is harmed most in a monopoly? The customer. We don't have a health care problem. America has the best care by far, bar none. No one even as a close second, Michael. The rest of the damn world comes from where they are to the United States for health care. So we don't have a care problem. We also don't have an access problem. Another big BS narrative out of the Democrats. You know why we don't have an access problem, Michael? Because if the illegal alien criminal who just escaped jail needs to go to the emergency room, he gets the same care you and me get. So how is his access denied? We don't have a care problem, and we don't have an access problem. What we have is a money problem. And the reason there is a money problem is the same reason that that soda larking costs what it did. Because you've got to get the regulation industrial complex the hell out of health insurance. The original investor of Uber, I ask people this. They don't know who it is. You know who it is, Michael? You know who the original big investor in Uber was? Google.
Can I say Google? Yep.
Google. It was Google. What is a search engine doing in a cab company? Well, they looked at it and said, we can bypass the government. What do you need the government for? The government doesn't drive you. The government doesn't insure you. The government doesn't give you the product. The drivers do with their own vehicles. So we don't need the government, and we figured out a workaround, and that's what they did, Michael. So because you cut the unnecessary government regulation of taxi and limousine standards and legal requirements out of the equation, the $80 airport trip is $25. If tomorrow, Larkin, tomorrow, if we actually developed a free enterprise health insurance system, Jeff Bezos, Google, all the big money guys in America would say, wow, this is going to be one hell of a business to get into. And they'd all get into it, Michael. But instead, what do we have? We have a monopoly created by government regulations where every dollar we send to an insurance company, 70 cents of it goes to administration. 70 cents. When I ask the Uber driver how much the Uber driver earns from that $20 or $25 trip, let's just say it was more than 30% of what it was that he was getting paid. So once we get the addiction, I call it the addiction market, because that soda tax, all that is the city addicted to revenue. They're just addicted to some government involvement somewhere because they know that involvement is gonna bring in that extra stream of revenue. And just like you posed the question to that lady who's, you know, maybe she's a nice lady, but she's a hopeless Democrat, and you ask her, where's that money go, ma'am? I don't know. Where's it go?
Well, it's supposed to go to the schools, she said, but...
And how are the schools in Philly doing for the last 20,000 consecutive uninterrupted days?
Just wonderful.
Wonderful. Phenomenal.
Graduation rate of like 52%. You know.
Oh, that's an ROI of like 12%. I mean, obviously, any business that does an ROI of like if you only like have an like if you lose 88% of your money, Lark, and obviously you go out of business, right? Because that's how the real world works. Well, not in Democrat land, not in these little mini utopias around the country. And these are, look, in Philadelphia, Michael. I don't mean to pick on Philly, but you guys are there. Okay, Philadelphia is a historic city. It's a great city. I love coming in every time I come in. But you go and ask the average Philadelphian, do you know how long the Dems have run this place? Oh, a long time. Actually, 20,000 uninterrupted consecutive days. So what is this diversity that I keep hearing about, Larkin?
This two-party system, yeah.
How is it diverse when everybody thinks the same?
Do you know that there is no question that it would be 100, the city council would be 100% Democrat if it weren't for a city charter or a city statute that says that the two Republicans who get the most votes have to be put on city council. So I could run for city council and you could run for city council. I could get 1,000 votes and you could get 500 votes, and the lowest Democrat running at large could get 175,000 votes, and I would be forcibly put on city council as the two at-large Republicans.
Two token Republicans. Okay, well, I heard you say, Larkin, you talked about single-payer, and here's the bottom line. In this country, we do not stand for We do not stand for people dying in the street because they can't get coverage, because they can't get care. We don't have a care problem. We don't have an access problem. The Dems got a BS narrative. The Repubs got a BS narrative. So what's the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal should be you want to get people insured. Lower the damn costs.
And you know, Rich, I have to just say this before I turn the microphone over to Mark.
Sorry, Mark.
You know, one thing that is very interesting, which we spoke about. We spoke about Google. We spoke about Uber. All private industries. If healthcare would all step forward, we wouldn't need this nonsense going on in Washington. I'm against the government handling our healthcare to begin with. People tell me all the time, well, what would we do without it? I say, well, you'd have competition. Government could regulate the prices, that you can't be overcharged for this raped if you went to this hospital or that hospital.
Michael, I'll tell you why that doesn't work. Because immediately you take that supercharged entrepreneurial competitive edge away from the small businessman or from the insurance company, and they'll say, well, hell, then I don't have to work for it. I'm just going to charge the max. They tried to regulate milk in this state and did the same thing.
Here is one thing, Larkin, I would say about that is, first of all, if we are paying for many of the people who are on the government services, that means we're paying the high price for that person to be serviced. It's coming from our tax dollars because that person is unemployed, poor, or disabled. And we have to help those people, but we also have to help ourselves by getting to some cost system where one cannot, everybody should make a living. And if they are in a specialty or something, but they can't have everything on the one plate and gorge themselves with everything possible.
Let me repeat just very quickly what you just heard Rich say. The main investor in Uber was Google. If you tell Jeff Bezos, if you tell Mark Zuckerberg, if you tell Mark Cuban that we're going to allow them to get into the insurance business, but we're going to keep all the barriers and all the protections we have so you can sell an insurance package if you want to and if you qualify in eastern Pennsylvania, they're going to say, where is the ability to scale up there? Why? I mean, that's an industry that's captured by an organization up on Market Street that has a 48-story building that has people on top of people on top of people doing endless administrative work. But if you go back to Jeff Bezos and say, listen, we're going to allow you to create a national health care program, not National Geographic, not national by government. You can cross bears. You can sell this thing anywhere you want to. Bezos is in. Mark Cuban's in.
Right. Google but does government in. Have to be in?
No.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. We can't. It has to be some kind of a system where government doesn't pay more because it's a private system than we're able to afford. We're going down the drain, $20 trillion in debt. We can't continue to pay or open the door for everybody to get a service. It can't be done.
Well, yeah, you can. You keep on taxing everybody's...
The people I speak to, the business people, say the reason I'm not opening any kind of a new business or expanding is I don't want to get hit with all the extra FICA costs and all the insurances and then the health care on top of that. It's not profitable. That's what drove the businesses out of America. They took Uber and went out of America before Uber was invented. They got out of Dodge. I can understand that because profits allow a business to pay salaries and also health care, Social Security, matching funds or whatever. We don't have that kind of profit base anymore in any industry in America because we're overtaxed and overregulated. Before you open the door, you know yourself, Larkin, before you open a door, you have 5 permits to open up your business. Then they're going to regulate you. They want quarterly money sent in on your profits. You didn't make a dime, and they already want the money in there. It's the same thing. You hire an employee. Going out to the job fairs, some of the people I talked with, the hierarchy, the people doing the hiring, they say, the reason we come to the job fair is we want to see the person face to face to see if they would fit in our organization. Because the minute they come into the organization, we have many costs behind that hiring that person. Mark, have you been through this before?
Absolutely. How you doing, Mike? And Larkin, I hear you're in studio. And Rich, great to have you back. Here I was worried about you, Rich. You came in fired up.
Well, he went to speak at a few events. So, oh, my goodness, he really was the best.
Yeah. No, I love what you guys are saying. When you talk about Uber, Rich, that's a perfect example, or Larkin with the soda. New York State had has their lottery that they take the money was supposed to go to all the school systems. And then gasoline, you talk about, I mean, they only make a penny or 2 cents a gallon, right? And you wonder, all them taxes, especially in New York State, the gas stations don't run on the gas sales, as we've talked about. It's the convenience mart and whatnot if they tie it to a Tim Hortons or a coffee shop. But, yeah, absolutely. I love that when you can go around and beat them at their own game, because if it's a three-letter word like tax or fee, they're always taking too much, and then they actually price an entrepreneur out of making a dollar. Great, great statement there. I want to touch on that skilled workers. What I found out last week from meeting with and speaking for Dream at Do It, and the lady's name was Evelyn. Mike, I want to get her on at some point. But talking about that skilled worker shortage a little bit ties to if the soda money was to go to schools and whatnot, because I found out a tech teacher really would get $40,000 a year, but you need 4 years of college, plus the 2 years to get a master's, plus some teaching experience. So basically, you'd have to quit your good job, lose money, get 6 years of school to become a tech teacher. Because what I learned, guys, was these teachers, 21 teachers came to me, and they believe in our skilled trades push and our need and the shortage in the country. But they're telling me these schools in Western New York have beautiful classrooms set up for teach tech and whatnot, but they don't have no teachers in them. One school has 6th grade that 12th grade set up, but they only have one teacher to teach the 8th grade. We talked about a shortage of workers. We've got a shortage of teachers. We were joking about bringing them over for Germany at some point to teach welding and whatnot. They don't have teachers right now, tech teachers right now, to fill their classrooms. So these kids are not getting any exposure to any tech classes. I just want your take on that, guys.
Well, you know, I had a startup here in Philadelphia that, as far as I know, as a nonprofit, is still operating out in West Philadelphia. But it was up on South Street, close to Broad, and they were in a church property, and they were teaching technical technical issues to students, all at-risk students who had either dropped out of high school, had been incarcerated and recently released. But it was a great group of students, and I taught several courses up there about how to start your own business and fundamentally how to economically prepare yourself for life. You know, you don't take your first paycheck and go out and put money down on a F-150. You know, you have to balance, you know, life out, and a lot of those life-type skills. But they actually had current employees, welders, that were working for big companies, you know, welding steel or doing whatever, you know, the frames of the buildings going up and all the rest of that stuff. They would come in and actually teach welding to the class. They could not muster support in this city. They couldn't find it anywhere. They tried the charter school route. They tried a variety of different routes. And they were really very successfully addressing. And there would be 9 to 12 kids in every one of those classes. They didn't have a standard like we've talked about before with people who want to do this, but they create a standard. You can't have an arrest record. You can't do this. You can't do that. These people were quite the opposite. They took those at-risk kids and said, okay, let's wipe the chart. As a matter of fact, their opening speech, they actually had a rather littered chalkboard that as he was speaking, welcoming them, he went up there and wiped the chalkboard clean. And he said, we're starting from scratch. You're starting from scratch, we're starting from scratch. And when we're done, you're going to have a skill and hopefully the ability to get a job.
You know, I want to return because take, for instance, somebody like Mark. He has a good number of employees, Larkin. And, Rich, I want you to know, can you please tell me why? government is discussing this in Washington, 535 people. Why don't we have four major healthcare people speaking about what they could offer if they were in charge of the system, not government? Can you tell me that, Rich?
Yeah, but Michael, I think it's a simple answer. And Larkin, if you want to back me up or amend this, it's because the uncomfortable truth is that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have zero clue about how to handle the health insurance market.
Zero clue.
Not like 1% clue, like 0%.
But you've hit the target. You've hit the bullseye. I mean, you couldn't possibly be more to the center of the bullseye. They don't even have this healthcare system. You know, Michael has always said, you yank these 536 people out of their little shell that they live in up there with their unbelievable pensions and their unbelievable healthcare and all of the benefits that they get, and you tell them, guess what? You're on the street. You're buying healthcare just like everybody else does. And you know what? That problem would get solved pretty darn quick.
You're absolutely right, Larkin. You know, I turned on a World News last night. I tape it. I come home later. And they're targeting Trump or his son or whatever. Why aren't they talking about what we talk about on this radio show?
They've made Americans.
The healthcare plan. Get this professional team together and design something that works.
What does Mitch McConnell or any of these people know about health care?
All I can tell you is Mitch McConnell, as much as he has been supported by his lackeys that have been elected to the Republican side of the aisle, are an embarrassment to me. How can a man with a majority in the House not control? I mean, I thought they keep on saying he's this great majority leader that can get anything through. And no, he can't.
But let me say this, Larkin. This is my own feeling. I think what he was trying to do, without showing that proposal to the American people, for them to see exactly what's being discussed, was no different than Nancy Pelosi did when she said, you got to read it to know what's in it.
You know, and I will say that the Republican package that they presented, there's not a better word to use, and I apologize. I hope it's acceptable, but that program sucked. It was terrible. The Republican alternative was just as bad as the Democratic alternative. It did not address the issues or the problems.
And, Mark, you listen to the shows. They've been using this as a political football for a long, long time. It's about time that all the major healthcare carriers get together in a big conference center and say, this is plan A, plan B, plan C. Let's present it to the national leaders. Help us get them out of the business of providing health care, demanding health care, and let's get it back into a normal system where we can't kill each other with costs, but we take care of the people who need care.
Because, guys, I need it as a business owner. We're almost at 80 employees as our company, and I said $16,500 is what it costs per year for a family's health insurance with Blue Cross Blue Shield, an average plan with no dental. It's disgusting.
That's embarrassing.
And if you... And for them to talk about on TV and think they know what's going on, you said it best, Larkin, the 535 of them, go out and try to get it. Make them learn this, get educated, and then, you know, raise awareness with what's going on. They don't know what I go through. And my people, I want to treat good, give good benefits, but you have to make a profit to be able to give that. And people don't understand, again, how this works. But they get average health insurance. It's $16,000-plus a year for a family. Now, I can split that 50-50. We can do 75-25. I can say I don't cover it. But, again, we're trying to create quality livelihoods and keep people in our company. To do that, you got to give benefits, or you should give benefits.
And, you know, you're right. I mean, one thing that the people don't understand as we promote America and American workers is, Mark, you're supposed to be out in the business world trying to get more business to keep your people employed, to try to get more business for your suppliers so that they keep their people employed. Yet the people in Washington waste all of their time, pettiness, stupidness. It's disgusting. In many cases, I look for 5-10 minutes these days and I close it because it's talking nonsense. They have not told me anything. Believe it or not, the people I meet in my travels have more common sense than the whole group of them in Washington.
Yeah. And should Michael, our older people, should they have to wait for a bed when they're 80, 90? we agree they should be taken care of. So everybody's got to get together, and they've got to really set up this team of people that do know what's going on and get together, figure it out.
You're right, Mark. And that's Mark, you're so right. And you know what, I'm Larkin, I wouldn't be mad if the following happened. I would actually welcome it if, and I'll just use our three states. You know, me and Larkin, our senators are Bill Nelson and Marco Rubio. Mark, you're Schumer and Chris and Joe Brand, and then Michael Henry, Pat Toomey, and Bob Casey. Those are the senators. So imagine they all got imagine all 100 senators, right? They all got together and they all said, okay, the Democrats have a BS narrative. We have a BS narrative, and the Republicans say we have a BS narrative. So how do we just move away from the talking points? What's the goal? What's the common goal? Is the common goal costs have to go down? Yeah, costs have to go down.
But
is the common goal we need more people to be able to buy affordable health insurance? Maybe they could just buy it, Larkin, and just put in the policy whatever they want, so
yeah,
we can get away from government
mandate. Talking many good common sense things, but
just,
I'm proposing I'd like to see the plan on the internet. Larkin, have you seen the plan on the internet?
Which plan?
The plan that they're proposing in Washington?
The Republican plan?
Yes.
I've read parts of it.
Okay, but
it's
the thing is,
it's just a warm-over Democratic
approach.
Well,
okay, so whatever it is, I think it should be the plan from the health care providers. I think Blue Cross should have a place at the table, health partners, whatever. Everybody present what they can do to the national leaders, not the national leaders present ideas amongst themselves and decide what they think is going to be best.
Listen,
in the long run.
We need somebody with a little bit of common sense. You know, I've always said, if you're going to battle and you're in war and the war's over and you're really trying to settle things, you know, let six women go in and sit down and figure out how everything should be resolved, because women have a different way of handling conflict. And maybe the women should just be part of it, and you have the men's perspective of conflict handling and then a woman's but we've never really done that. Here's an alternate proposal. You get every female that is a member of Congress and every female that's a member of the Senate, and you lock them in a room. I don't care what party you're from. No more party talk. I don't care. They all wear masks, so nobody knows who's speaking. And the women sit down and craft an answer. And they take this government regulation. If you take, you are so right, Rich. You're as right as rain as far as I'm concerned. Take government regulation and government involvement out of anything that we do in this country, and it will get better. Period. Amen.
I agree, because the women have to, especially when in the child years, take the kids to the hospital, take the kids to the doctor for shots and all. That's mainly their obligation. They would know better what is needed and what is foolishly being forced upon our kids. I think Henry's wife could give us more information about what it takes to get appointments for a boy or a girl to go to get their shots or get checked up for this and that. This is what's lacking. These beasts that are in there in the Congress and the Senate, they have no idea. They're just doing it amongst themselves. I look at some of them speak on C-SPAN. Many of them have no idea. They're talking in circles. Well, it would be good if we could do this, and maybe if the healthcare industry would work with us. Well, did you ask them to work with you? The answer is no. If they did, ask them to work with them. Where's the proposal? I haven't seen it.
But Michael, that's the government regulation industrial complex, because when Larkin and me were talking yesterday, and Larkin said, free enterprise in America is in trouble.
There's no question.
And I'm going to tell you why Larkin's 100% right about that. Now, I understand, yes, we're still the best. I get it. I know we're still the best. But just good isn't good enough. So the reason that we're really in deep doo-doo right now when it comes to free enterprise is because the hydra of the federal bureaucracy is so large, it's larger than all federal bureaucracies combined before President Obama. So every president inherits the last guy's mess. So when President Obama took over in 2008, and I remember telling all of the very angry Republicans I knew that elections have consequences. So the consequences now are that he won, Democrats won, and you lost, okay? And now hopefully we don't all lose. So when the president took over, he inherited the whatever messes were left over by President Bush. So I said at the time, well, every president deserves a margin of error. Now, I remember reading the Democrat media industrial complex talking about President Obama when he first came in, and I could have swore, Larkin, that someone actually said they saw him walk on water. I swear, I remember seeing it. They said he walked on water, and he turned water into wine. I remember reading about that. So there was like an eight-year honeymoon, basically. And I remember thinking, okay, he's taken over. There, you've got to give a margin of error. You've got to give a slight margin of error when the president comes in. But even with the margin of error, President Obama grew the federal government more than every president before him combined. 230 years of presidents didn't have a federal government combined that President Obama grew.
You're absolutely right.
So when free enterprise has to fight the Hydra regulation industrial complex, we are not going to win that battle. We're not. Small business isn't going to win. Big business, Michael, gazillionaires always win. The reason that most millionaires and billionaires are Democrats is because they love big government. They love it. Amazon, look, I got a lot of respect for Amazon, but Amazon loves the fact that they can pay workers minimum wage, and then they'll just go get a supplemental, you know, food stamps or dependency because they got a family and they got to feed their kids.
Yeah, Walmart loves that, Rich.
Big companies love that. Big companies love corporate inversion. Gazillionaires always win. Forget about them. They win no matter what. Doesn't matter the economic model. But small business fighting against, I mean, it's hard enough to succeed anyway, right, Mark, with all of our competition. And then on top of that, we got to fight the regulation industrial complex. Free enterprise is in big trouble right now. Now, to the credit of the president and the Congress, because, again, everyone wants to put the health care blame on the president. Presidents don't make laws. Presidents sign laws. Congress makes laws.
Absolutely. And please, Rich, don't stop saying that, because you're exactly right. The people I meet in my travel continue to tell me that it's past presidents made all these laws. I said, no, it wasn't. Past presidents signed the legislation agreed to in the House and Senate and place this cross upon us from hell. I remember when just a few years ago, and Mark, I'm going to turn to you on this question. A few years ago, we announced that the U.S. debt was $16 trillion. It had reached that $16 trillion. Today, I'm looking at it right now. It's $19,969,058,000,000 and change, which means it says it right there on the government clock that every person in America, Henry's kids, your kids, everybody else, $61,344 they owe. Hey, Mark, can any of your people cough up $61,000 today, yeah, or next week or next month?
You know, the problem is, I mean, Larkin, you've worked with entrepreneurs your whole life. Rich, you are one. You know, Mike and Henry, you guys get it. We are crazy entrepreneurs. To be an entrepreneur in this country right now, to make $1, people don't realize how hard it is. And no, Mike, to answer your question, no, we can't afford that. They couldn't run a lemonade stand, you know, in Washington, and that's the problem. That's what we're talking about, health and everything. They have to put it. It's up to the people to get this. I'm constantly trying to get my people in my company, my middle management, which has been our problem for years, to understand what it takes to make a dollar and really want to know. So it takes a lot to get them to get an understanding of where the money comes from, where it goes. You have to produce more than you could consume. You have to bring in more than you're giving out. These are basic buy low, sell high. You've got to do basic things, but most people don't have an understanding. So Washington, to me, is broke. They don't have a clue. They're all millionaires. And until we get them in the game or get people that are in the game. I'm hoping Trump hires within and starts within and starts to hire like he would as he runs a business and gets people that can really, really make a difference, because I think he hit a wall he's not used to, getting people convinced and understand what's really going on out there.
And so I'll give you a really great example that everybody will understand about government regulation. If you drive on the Pennsylvania Turnpike or on I-95 in any one of the states, you're going to pull into a plaza. The plaza is owned and operated by the State Department of Transportation. My favorite one to stop at is just after you come through Baltimore, north on 95 in Maryland, and it's run by the host company, and they have a contract with the state. Exxon has a contract with the state to sell gasoline. The gasoline is about 15%. 15 cents a gallon higher than it is off of, if you get off of one of the exits in 95 and buy it, because the state has to have their cut. They not only get the 38 cents that they're charging in taxes per gallon, but because you have the privilege of selling gasoline on the I-95, right, it's another 15 cents added that the state gets. And walk in there and buy a Nathan's hot dog. Now, I can go into any hot dog stand in New York City, and buy a hot dog for $2. $9. I bought a hot dog. And, you know, I bought it. That was the hard part. And
you
when
still
I
still have it, Larkin?
No, I mean, I ate it. I was just too hungry. I had to eat it because if I didn't buy it,
put that in a safe, Larkin.
Yeah, I wouldn't have the right to complain. But at any rate, when I do that, I sit down, I open the hot dog, and I immediately look to this guy and apologize to my father, because I know he'd kick my butt if he ever found out that I bought a bottle of water when I can get it out of any sink, or the fact that I paid $9 for a hot dog. So that's government involvement. That's the government.
How much
price,
was the roll?
Price fixing. Well, the roll came with it, thank God. I even got onions and chili and cheese.
Oh, that was that God. That's what made it $9.
It was the loaded hot dog,
well,
baby.
Larkin, it's like you said before, which I've used your line many times now. You talked about all politics being personal.
Local.
Right? So in addition, right? All politics are local. All politics are personal. I mentioned the Larkin yesterday, and I'll say this with, I don't know, I guess maybe not necessarily pride, but I was happy to hear it. Every year I read a countrywide financial study done by George Mason University in Virginia. Every year they do an assessment of the financial strength of each state. It's a nonpartisan study, which is why I like reading it. It's not blue, it's not red, it's not purple. So they just released the strongest states based on their standards of short-term, mid-term, and long-term obligations. You know what state they ranked, Michael, as the strongest state financially in America?
Oh, and by the way, I moved there 2 years ago.
Florida?
And guess where? And guess where some of the highest tax states, such as New York, California, and Pennsylvania were? You think they were like in the top five? You think they were in the top 10? Do you think they were in the top 30? Well, if you answered no, you're correct. So all of these mega-taxed states are doing not so great financially.
So terribly. They're doing terribly.
So if the addiction to revenue was so good for the state, if the addiction to revenue was so good in Illinois, why are they going to possibly become the first American state in history to declare bankruptcy? A state is talking about declaring bankruptcy. And what's the biggest city in that state? The city of Chicago.
Chicago.
Which has been run by how many days in a row by Democrats?
30,000.
30,000.
I was going to say that.
No, I mean, listen, Michael, I failed. I failed economics in school because I couldn't keep up with all the theory. All I know is that finance is just math. That's all it is. Finance is just math. So the state of Florida, which, again, we're not perfect. Believe me, no one's perfect. But our state down here, hey, we're pretty focused on small business. We're pretty focused on keeping taxes low. We're pretty focused on making it a destination area. What are you guys doing in Philly? The people are fleeing your city, Michael.
Yep. Well, I want to tell you, one of the biggest problems that I see talking face to face with people, and Mark, you know that from welcoming your bus tours and all, when the people come to you and you get on your bus and you talk to the people walk away with a whole different opinion.
Absolutely.
They want to go out and do something. The biggest problem we have is the American taxpayer has very little contact with the person he went to the polls or she went to the polls to elect. In other words, the people go to Washington not knowing what even their local people care about. They have no idea, Larkin.
No, they don't. And you know, it goes back to, you know, all politics are local. And I've actually judged elections where 18% of the people have showed up to vote.
And Larkin, 18%. Many times when I get a contact through the Human Services Division, they tell me this or that. I say, well, I believe that that person, your council person or your state rep is so-and-so. Very often they say to me, well, I've never had any contact with them. I said, do you go out and vote? They say, yes. And I say, do you vote usually straight party line? Yes. I said, well, that's why you don't know the people. If you had to go to the ballot and start looking at the people you want and don't want, you would know who they are. But if you vote straight this way or just hit all the buttons in a row, and that's my gang to put in, that's what I was told is the best thing to do. The local people, the state people are hurting our movement, the Buy American Made campaign, by not speaking with their people. And by the way, how many of Mitch McConnell's people ever spoke to him in the last 5 years? He's totally clueless. He's so, you know, like in a circle. You can't get in. There's no doors in the circle where he is. He has to be helicoptered out of the circle. That's how tight this thing is kept.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it really comes down to the people. We say that, you know, what we do.
Yeah, that's right, Mark. That's right.
And, you know, we can make positive change. We say that all the time. The consumer has the power. It absolutely comes down to the people. That's why I love our movement and our concept.
You know, one of the things that is so perfect when people get the flyer of Larkin and I give out that, I gave out tons of them lately. I want to tell you that people say these people are good people. They should be running the country. That means you, Mark, you, Larkin, you, Rich. These are the people. They look at the pictures and say, yeah, I hear them. They're good people. Why aren't they in politics? Why aren't they in Washington speaking up? I say, because Washington is not going to welcome them because they're talking common sense.
I talked to an IT guy yesterday, and he said to me, a great guy, really, really a great guy, and very, very knowledgeable about IT. And he said to me, I said, how's life treating you? And he said, well, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to make a buck out there. And you're constantly worrying about your business and, you know, la, 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 la. And he said, my wife is all over me. All over me, constantly. I getting a job with the city, and I said, "Oh, you got too much spirit for that." And he said, "Well, she wants me to get it because she said you need that pension." And I said, "Well, they do have a pretty good pension." He said, "Pretty good pension. There's not an employer in the city that has a pension that comes anywhere near matching what a city employee gets." How did we get there?
Now, what happened, Larkin, and I'll say this point blank. In many cases, years ago, people worked in the city and the state and the Fed for lower money. So that pension sort of, you know, added to their life as time went on. But today, if you look at some of the dollars that they're receiving for the services they're providing, it's too much. Their pensions really have to be reviewed. They have to be reviewed. We're paying dollars.
For it, right?
We're paying dollars. You know, guys, we have a theme every year for our program. This year, our theme was support the American made label. I've been promoting that everywhere I go. We're now 7 months into the process. I'm urging all of you, as you're getting ready to go out and do your school supply buying and get all this stuff for the kids, to look at this stuff and speak up where you shop. Let me tell you something. I go into a lot of stores just to see what is going on. people speaking up has been the most effective thing that has really made a difference,
Mike,
in the
store.
Mike,
I want to tell you a little story, guys, with that. I wear my shirt, of course. You know, I always get that reaction, but I'm at this local steak shop with Jackie, and this guy goes, wow, I love that store. I said, oh, I actually own it. You know, one thing leads to another. Now, he's busy. We shoot off. I learned that he's an Eagle Scout. He's a black belt. He ran Family Dollar Store, and all of a sudden, doesn't he find me and call me? And I interviewed him right before this show. This guy came up, you know, 15 years old, told his father he wants a pair of shoes. He said, go find a job. So he found a job at a shoe store. You know, this kid, he's 34 years old. And he gets it. He took political science. He wanted to back America, what it's about. His grandfather was World War II. Said, learn patience or else you'll become one. You know, I said, wow, that's a great statement, right? And his grandmother told him, he said, that jeans built this country, suit and ties are ruining it, you know. And I said, geez, I'll remember that one. But this guy gets it. And it's neat that just wearing a shirt or making a comment or what this guy understands. He said, what's the oldest TV in the country built, Mark? I said, I thought it was RCA. He said, it was Zenith. You know, he knows his stuff. And, boy, he'll come a part of our team. But the point, Mike, bringing up something at a store in 5 minutes and talking, he doesn't believe in texting and whatnot. He believes in talking, so he won't text his friends back. He makes them call him. But a lot to be said. I met this young gentleman, I mean, in his 30s, that really gets it. So it gave me a lot of hope. Plus, he taught religion for 10 years. He believes. And just a lot of good things. There's good people out there that really love America, and it gives you a lot of hope. But just to bring up what you can do in a few minutes talking to somebody. And, Larkin, I think you agree, too. But we don't talk enough. People don't communicate. This new generation don't communicate enough face-to-face.
Well, I want to brag on Florida because of Rich's remark, just very briefly. You know, we have no income tax in the state of Florida.
Mm.
None whatsoever. So when I file my taxes, I file my federal tax, and that's it. No income tax, mm-hmm. No period, amen. And we have one sales tax, 7% in my area, I think 7.5%. I think Miami might be pushing 8%. But the county and the state split that. Is that right, Rich? I'm pretty sure. But it's one sales tax. There's not 13 state sales, local tax. You know, like when you buy something in Philadelphia, there's 27 things on there. But let me tell you what they're doing that I love. The weekend before school starts, which is in about 3 weeks, the weekend before school, there is no state sales tax charged for purchases. Parents go out and buy paper and pencils and clothing and all the rest of that tax.
I love it because we're already paying the schools operate. Why should we tax and make the government richer?
Tax-free weekend, baby. Florida, the week before school starts.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, this has been a wonderful open forum program, and I want all of you to spread the word and ask that you send out today's broadcast to all of your family and friends when you get it. I want to thank Larkin Connolly sitting here in studio. He's got a meeting to run out to. I want to thank Rich Logis. Rich, it was great to have you and hear all of your unbelievableness. I can only imagine what you did on the road. We missed you terrible. Mark, thank you for being an unbelievable advocate for American. Nobody has done it better than you. I want to thank Henry Chaplinsky for his unbelievableness. I'm Michael Blihosh. Please tune in again this Saturday at 11 a.m. And tomorrow we'll be back, and Friday as well. But on Saturday I'll be back, and next Wednesday I'll be looking for you right here on 860. Have a great one. God bless. Go out and support American Made, and tell your friends and family how important buying American is really all about.
Rich Logis's opening salvo today, folks, is Golden Radio. Tape it and read it. And
thanks, everyone.
Transcribe it and read it every day.
Every day.
I just had a vision. Larkin School of Common Sense. Larkin.
Yeah.